No Dumb Idea, episode number 41, Captain's Log. Gibbledang here. The week has been so-so, just kind of sailing through my days. Now I'm up here sailing in space. And I happen to be joined by my two co-hosts.
Captain, it's me, Gym Leader Nate. Thank you.
It's a me, Dala. The speed drives are okay, Captain.
Aye.
One Scottish, I think, right?
Oh, is that what that is?
I'm Scottish, but from space, Captain. I'm space Scottish.
Little fact, Captain. All people from space are Scottish. Don't you know that?
My bad. Now, Gym Leader Nate, how? Why don't you go ahead and tell us how your Nate has been going?
No, it's been fine. I feel like I got to play some video games this last week. Play the new Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed Mirage, really good. A little weird, but solid. Mm-hmm. I also finally almost I'm one episode away from finishing Fallout, which is
what?
Ooh. The TV show. Yeah,
such a good nice. Show. It's so fun.
Yeah, I've been having such a good time watching that show. It's just very entertaining, very surprising. Still, even though I know a lot about Fallout, it's still keeping me on my toes and doing a very good job.
So I'm just getting into Fallout. I've only played New Vegas so far. I love it. I'm kind of playing the playstyle that I'm doing is as if I'm the ghoul, as if I'm doing gunslinger kind of nice. Let me restore law to wherever I need to. Walton Goggins is a fucking treasure. I love him on Invincible. Dude, you wouldn't have realized it, but he's so good. He was in Ant-Man and the Wasp, a.k.a. Ant-Man 2, as a fucking nobody character.
Really?
Marvel. Yeah, Marvel.
He was good, but they didn't use him much. That's unfortunate. I liked him.
He was good, but he was an OC. He was a good OC, which is cast him as Norman Osborn or some shit.
Ooh, he would be such a good are you Norman kidding Osborn. Me? Whoa.
Ooh, baby.
That's a crazy good idea.
Yeah. I'm somewhat of a scientist myself.
It's hard to be Willem Dafoe, but still.
Yeah.
That'll give him room for his money, sure.
Just to have him as a main character, a reoccurring character would be great. A villain, bigger villain.
Even Walton Goggins as Norman Osborn as Iron Patriot. That shit would make sense too. Ooh. If they went Iron Patriot, then Green Goblin.
Uh-huh.
They might recast him because there's a lot of MCU character or actors that have played two roles, maybe just voice only or
even then. Going back to that, there's a rumor that Mads Mikkelsen is going to be recast as Doctor Doom.
Yeah, ooh, so it's fuck it, just do it. Sick. That'd be a good one though too. Yeah,
that'd be really good. Yeah. Sorry, Nate, that was your week. We're still on your week.
Yeah, we're still on your week. Yes.
I just love Walton Goggins.
Walton Goggins is a treasure, and he's been making.
Wait, what do we
good.
Say? Goggin on these Waltons until I fall out, or what?
I can't remember the exact one. I think it might have been. I can't remember if I said that
it's
on the podcast.
We've said it so many times.
Well, we said it now, listeners.
She be Walton on my Goggins till I fall out. Yeah.
That's just damn it. That's too good. I wonder if he's heard tweet that at him. I wonder if he's heard X that at him. wonder if he's heard that.
Jesus. You can even at the beginning say, my ghoul be Walton on my Goggins to fall out.
He'd be like, what the hell is this? what the fuck is this?
Oh, God. But yeah, other than that, just, playing games, just having a good time. Trying my best to, keep my allergies under control because the pollen hates me and wants me to die.
It's spring.
It is spring, and spring has sprung, so must I, and so I have to up my...
Walter has Goggins.
I have to up my allergy protection game. So,
a condom now?
I'm sorry?
Don't do
that's it. Actually many people refer to allergy meds as nose condoms.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was gonna say, true. You don't need to apologize. It's okay.
Yeah, safety first.
Nose control pills.
Yeah, nose. Ooh, yeah, there you go. Histamine control.
There you go.
Anyways, and then also playing this new Pokemon game on this browser based Pokemon game called Poke Rogue. It's a roguelike style Pokemon game, but not like, there's another one that has already existed called Pokemon like Rogue Emerald, and that one is where you're actually go like walking down routes and you have to like go catch Pokemon in routes and then like do fights and keep going as far as you can. And this one, you just like have points and you buy an opening Pokemon team and you launch in, and then you just are in the battle screen of Pokemon just for the whole game. The whole entire game is just the battle screen for Pokemon, and you just keep going and going and going, and every time you like knock out an enemy that's like a trainer or a wild Pokemon, you get a choice of like items afterwards, reward items, and then can also like buy potions and buy full heals and stuff as you go and earn money. And it's crazy. I thought I was doing super good, and I got to like a level like 140-ish. And like Pokemon were like level 130. But then I found out there's an endless mode, and I looked at the Reddit and somebody had posted a picture of their endless mode fight where they were their Pokemon was level 6,594.
Well, so, that person doesn't have a job, so you should feel better than them.
So yeah,
they probably never talked to a person. Ever.
Apparently, they probably never talked to either hot guy or hot girl and either got laid. Probably not.
They don't leave their mom's basement, those gamers.
Slash podcasters.
Just go endlessly. it just can keep going and going and going. So
that's what I love about roguelikes, because like they can go forever and they can generally be fun forever too.
Yeah, cool. And it's like with Pokemon, since everything in Pokemon is equation based for all of the statistics and how the combat works, then technically it all just scales. So it all just, you can just keep going up and up and up and up and up and never really stop until eventually, I guess, you get to an integer large enough that it would crash the game. But that was my week.
Nice. And I can take over. My week has been chill as well. I was editing last episode, and so I've just been original. On an X. Yeah, I know.
You also
fuck,
had a chill week.
I guess. Yeah.
Have a mine was like, be original.
Yeah, damn it! my nail's fucking chipped. Okay, I know.
Wow, that's very interesting. That sounds like a very good story, Dala.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a hang nail on my.
How did they chip?
Middle finger.
Was that? Oh well, there you go. Now you answered it.
Yeah. But no, I've been still going on riding on high with the X-Men stuff. I was editing the last episode and I was putting background music, and now I've been just listening to like the Sega Genesis
listening to Children it.
The soundtrack of the Sega Genesis X-Men, and
that's why.
It's good ass music. It's like, damn, like this stuff rocks. Like, it's so good. Highly recommend.
Have either of you... Oh, okay. So, first of all, if anyone hasn't seen the or heard the last episode of No Dumb Idea, go check it out. It's really good. Yeah. It's a plug. It's an X-Men mutant episode. Plug. We got a lot of good games. Really, I love the cover. One of my favorite covers or thumbnails for an episode. I love it. Has anyone seen the newest episode that came out today, May 1st?
No, I haven't seen today. Sorry. Can't talk about it. Sorry.
Well, we're going to do like an episode where we talk about all of them.
We're going to do an episode, but all I'm going to say is that it's action-packed. You know, I woke up at like 7, which is really hard for me, and the moment I put that episode on, it was like a fucking cup of coffee. I was just like, woo, you know, like literally, really not half of the episode, but like maybe 10 minutes, my jaw was dropped. Like 10, 15 minutes. Okay, let's say half the episode. Yeah, 15 minutes, my jaw was dropped. I was just like, this can't be, like, this is happening.
I'm very excited, so that's good.
No, yeah. I've been honestly waiting because I'm like, I just want to binge all this last half. So that's why, because if we're going to review it, especially, I want to just kind of sit down, have like some beers with it or something.
Yeah. And to be fair, this is the first part of a 3-part finale. So in the next 2 weeks, I think on the 16th. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm stoked. So, I mean, honestly, just in general, I've been, like I said, living, breathing. I've been wanting to start the Evolution show again, just to like, rewatch that. That's like the one I grew up with, like more so. Like, I watched and loved 97 original, but the one I like grew up with, like at the same time, was Evolution.
Evolution,
and yeah. I remember liking it a lot.
I feel like we all happen to be in that age range where we managed to get the best of both worlds. We're like, we got X-Men 90s and we got 2000s everything then on. Like, we were at the peak of everything. Like, the start of everything. Even for Pokemon,
this is the best
too.
Time now. It's going to start sucking from here on out.
Hashtag best generation. All other ones are
Okay. Maybe not the peak, but we managed to see. We were there at the cusp. The start. The spark.
The big bang of the best cartoons.
The All Spark. Yeah. I'm Gay Optimus Prime.
Ooh.
The Gay Spark.
The Gay Spark. Sam.
Get inside me, you Samwitwicky.
Samwitwicky. Shia LaBeouf, you have to Shia your way. Okay, go on. How's your week?
Oh, no, you're good. The only other thing I wanted to actually kind of reference is I saw Lake Michigan Monster, the movie by the guy that made Hundreds of Beaver. The first movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were like, talking about
I'm really feeling a comedy. And I was like, obviously, I love 100 or Hundreds of Beavers. I watched it. It's on Tubi if you guys want to check it out. It's free. It's cool. It starts off slower and not as like funny, but it definitely has at the later half. It's like you see a lot of the same editing style, a lot of the same edits, even like type of edits. Some similar jokes. Like, you can see where the evolution of it comes from, and it's like funnier for that second half. The first half's got its jokes here and there. It's just more set up, and yeah, there's like some things. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of. It's supposed to be like a parody of like the Creature from the Black Lagoon kind of like creature feature.
Oh, okay.
Where the main character, he's like I think he's like my mom and dad were killed by this Lake Michigan monster, so he gets a crew together to hunt it. And it's, like, shot in black and white. It's supposed to be kind of, like, that style, 40s, 50s. The only thing that kind of bothers me is there's some, like, the fashion sense and, like, some stuff is very modern. So I'm like, this looks weird. It's, like, fine. It's like, not, like...
It's just the style. It's not actually set in that time.
Yeah. It's just one of those where, like,
it's an alternate 1950s.
Ooh. Where nose piercings were okay.
A retro. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. That's an entirely different thing than costumes. Wait, people had nose piercings?
Yeah, there's a woman that has like a nose piercing. Clothes too, but like it's
that's
just like
too much.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not bad. It's just like kind of weird to see and
what
be
was
like
the plot of the movie that they were in the 50s?
I don't think it inherently was, but I don't think there was ever. It's like Hundreds of Beavers, where it's like Hundreds of Beavers has like a particular time frame.
That's your fault, Dala.
Yeah, it's my fault for nitpicking the smallest thing that I said is a small thing.
Out of a good movie. Out of a really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't say it, you know. It's black and white.
fair. It took place in 19XDX. That's why.
No. Wait, did it really say that?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I love that.
It's the same year Mega Man.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Mega Man did that. Yeah. Mega Man did 19XX. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, same year as Mega
Man. It's in the Mega Man universe, obviously.
Is this in the Mega Man verse? In the Megaverse?
Lake Michigan Monster Man. That's obviously. I'm just kidding.
I will say, I am happy that, like, between... I was telling my roommate today, I'm so happy that between Fallout and X-Men 97, that the big theme right now in, like, new media is, like, all anti-capitalist, anti-imperialist. Mm. Like,
I would argue the theme now is Monkey, but we'll get more into that later.
I mean, but that's the thing, is that Monkey is also anti-capitalist.
Anti-capitalist, fair. King Kong was very anti-capitalist.
What a beautiful transition. Yes, no, that is something that I've also been noticing too. After sure. I rewatched basically the original Planet of the Apes, five. What's it called when it's five? Yeah, the original Planet of the Apes series.
Cycle.
Quintilogy.
Yeah, and you know, after seeing those five movies. They all carry messages of, you know, classism, racism, different kinds of, like, isms, you know, a lot of different isms. And so I thought, you know, by the time that this episode's coming out, I believe it comes out the day before Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. So I figured, hey, why don't we have a special Planet of the Apes themed episode, a Poda episode, if you will.
Was it Coda?
Yes.
Copda?
Poda.
President of the America. Yes.
President of the America.
Yes, of the America. The Americas.
Yeah, I definitely more versed with the new POTAs, but I brushed up.
Planet of the Apes. I believe the original, the original movie came out in, I want to say 1968. 1968. But it's actually based off of a
book.
Mm-hmm. 68.
Called Le Planet of Les Apes.
Called Monkey World.
Le Planet des Singes. No, really, it's called Monkey Planet in French.
In France.
It's called Monkey Planet. In France, it's called Monkey Planet.
Called it.
But, you know, the Planet of the Apes movie is based off of Monkey Planet, you know, a novel, a French novel that once it made it to the States, it was retitled Planet of the Apes, which I love the name. I think it's beautiful. I think it just rolls off the tongue. It's like, it's long, but you know what? It's still good.
The first
Planet
one, yeah.
of the Apes. Yeah.
The original. Yeah. But, great title.
Yeah. I was like, <And it's,
laughs> we'll get into the other titles, but,
they're good names. It's just, they can be very confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's based off of the French novel, Monkey Planet, but the movie takes it an entirely nice, awesome. The movie takes it in an entirely different direction. You know, it's funny enough, the movie that is closest to the novel is actually the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes.
Of course.
But we will get into that later.
Yeah. Damn it, of course it is.
So for now we're starting off with the original Planet of the Apes, which starred Charlton Heston and a couple other people. And I guess, first of all, let's start. Which one of you have seen the original Planet of the Apes?
I have, yeah.
Me too.
Okay, so both of you. Yeah. Okay.
It's been a while, but yeah.
Okay, so neither of you have seen it in quite some time?
I haven't watched all the way through it. The last time I saw it was not too long ago, though, because I watched about... It was when I was working with the kids, so like 4 years ago. Yeah, but I mean, like, that's not a lot of movies I haven't seen since I was 14.
That's
like,
good.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Yeah, I think for me it would be when I was like 16.
I feel like 4 years ago is pretty fresh.
Okay, so I rewatched it. I rewatched the movie a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a quick little breakdown of it. I thought it was very fascinating. Overall, I thought it was a great movie. Really good movie. It stars Charlton Heston. Piece of shit. He is a fucking asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie opens up with, you know, there's four astronauts on a rocket ship. They're traveling through space. Charlton Heston is the last one awake. Everyone else is in like this cryogenic sleep kind of, you know, like these chambers or whatever. Charlton Heston is like, by the time you all get this message, it's going to be 3,000 years in the future, and you will all be dead, and I'm Charlton Heston, and whatever.
Yeah.
Are you trying to do Zach Brannigan?
Yeah, I'm basically, no, everyone is going to be Zach Brannigan.
Zach Brannigan,
which
yes.
Also,
oh, nice, okay.
Which also means that you guys can't do Zach Brannigan.
That's why when we did it at the beginning, I was Kiff.
There you go.
Oh, were you? I didn't catch
that. Sorry, it's sir. Yes, sir. I love your muscles, sir.
I'm sorry, my nervous bladder just emptied.
I was so jealous of him because he got with the hot chick. What was the hot chick's name?
Amy Wong.
Amy Wong. Dude, I was so jealous.
You're talking about Kiff,
either
right?
Way, okay.
Or Kiff?
No interruptions.
I like Hermes.
So, you know, he puts himself to sleep and, you know, the spaceship goes through a time portal, like a time storm in the middle of space.
Yeah.
They crash land on a planet. They wake up. You know, the only survivors out of four are three males. They look at her name is Stuart. They look at her like sleeping chamber. There's a crack in it. And it seems that throughout the time storm, she aged normally. So they travel 3,000 years into the future, and she's just like an old, decrepit corpse while they're just old, like they have beards and shit. You know what I mean? Because for the astronauts, the ones that were properly sealed in their chamber, they were only asleep for 2 years while 3,000 years passed, you know.
Gotcha. So she's been dead for like 2 years, essentially.
Basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been dead for 2 years. So they crash land in the ocean, you know, they're trying to escape. They get all their shit. They realize like, oh, okay, we're on this distant planet years in the future. Let's just try to find life or whatever. Mm-hmm. They eventually find a waterfall, which are like, hey, we need water. We need to fucking bathe or whatever. They all skinny dip, which I'm very surprised. There was like a fair amount of dick and bush and like male ass. I was like, okay, this is like
the 60s and
not like
70s,
I'm cool.
Weirdly, we're like, okay with that. Like they like that happened a lot.
I'm like, all right, good job, you know, good job. Some bush.
It's a nice bush. Good on you.
So at that point, that's when they they leave all their clothing because they're they fucking whatever.
Skinny dipped.
Yeah. You know, that's when they encounter the human primitives on their land or on the planet. And that's when they get mistaken for them. And eventually the apes come and do this like rallying cry where they're just like, all right, let's catch all the humans. And there's this extended scene where like, you know, just for 5 minutes, people are getting caught. And the one thing that I fucking noticed is that the stunts in this are stupid, crazy, fucking dangerous. Like,
really?
There's a point where like people are doing barefoot drops, like barefoot 10 feet drops into like ravines. And you see them land on their feet, their ankles fucking crumple a little bit, and then they're just like, oh, ooh, ow. Like, they're real people. It really fucking sucks.
Definitely looks like they might have gotten hurt.
It's very common, I'm
basically,
sure, of the time.
Basically, you know, once the astronauts are kidnapped, you know, that's when they realize, like, oh, we're in a planet of the apes. You know, there's orangutan, like, you know, that's when they kind of realize the way that the monarch... Not monarchy. What is it where they...
Hierarchy?
Not hierarchy. Theocracy?
Monarch?
Theocracy? Where it's like...
What's the definition?
Yeah, wait.
we worship God, God's rules, anybody who follows, like, that's a theocracy, right?
Yeah.
So basically, there was an original lawgiver for, like, ape society that deemed that, like, you know, apes can do this, apes can do that, don't trust man. And that was an orangutan. So basically,
Dr. Seuss. What's wrong with me?
I hate you.
That's probably honestly my first exposure to the Planet of the Apes.
So it's interesting because once you get introduced to this ape society, you realize that it's no different than human society. And that's kind of like the whole takeaway from, like, over time, like, this society just becomes like people, you know. It's like Animal Farm, where, you know, what is it? Some animals are equal. No, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. You know what I mean? That's basically, basically what Planet of the Apes devolves into. You know, the orangutans are like the conservative kind of, like, no, we don't appreciate science. We don't want anyone to explore the past, aka like how we descended from humans. Like, no. You know, the gorillas are a militaristic force. Yeah. It's all very interesting. It's all very, like, it was very engaging. And, you know, there's not a lot of female characters in the movie. Literally every female character is either mute or dead.
I was gonna say.
There's only one who is the female ape who, like, I love her. She is great. She is actually, like, a really strong, like, character.
With the iconic hair.
Yeah.
Like a bob.
She's very much like, no, like, I love science, you know, like, I want to keep studying everything. She is, like, very compassionate. She's gay. She loves classical music.
She's played by Helena Bonham Carter.
But, you know, she's one of the best characters. Her character foil, or not character foil, but a similar character was basically, she's in the Tim Burton movie.
No, I was talking about Helena Bonham Carter specifically, the actress. Was she in the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
I figured, because she's in all of his movies.
Yeah,
so.
It's Tim Burton. Yeah.
That's the movie that they met on, surprising enough.
That's the movie they met on?
He's like, damn, you're hot as a monkey. Let me, like, marry you.
So Charlton Heston's character, once he's kidnapped by the apes, they give him this mute woman named Nova, who she's literal eye candy for the entire fucking movie.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't speak. She doesn't do anything in the entire movie. And it turns out she was sleeping with the producer of the movie, which is why she was in the movie. But that's another thing.
Which is even crazier, because that means if she hadn't been sleeping with the producer, there would have been no women in the movie.
Except the ape. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But speaking of, there's a point where, you know, Charlton Heston, he's this person who could speak, and everyone on the Planet of the Apes can't speak. And he's just like, you know, back home, I was incapable of being loved. And you know, I wish I could be loved on this planet. And meanwhile, Nova's looking at him like, I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't.
She's like, food?
I just remember, like, her part. I'm curious to see an edit of the movie where you cut out Nova's parts. I mean, I'm sure it changes nothing, but I'm just genuinely curious, knowing this now, how she got on the set, or, like, on the film.
Yeah, you know, there's the whole weird relationship dynamics and the way they treat women in the 60s. And, you know, the fact that Charlton Heston is like, all right, Nova, you're mine now. You're my property. Like, I'm going to go ahead and take care of you. He has a line that he explains to Nova. He's like, there was a woman on my ship named Stuart. She was the most precious piece of cargo ever. Because she was going to be our Eve on this planet.
Ooh,
and dude.
I did not remember that.
There were three other men on that that fucking spaceship.
That's also
so fucking really weird.
Wouldn't, like, planning. Work, like, scientifically, like, that wouldn't.
Exactly.
It's also one kid per 9 months. I don't know, it's just stupid.
Yeah, they're all gonna exactly. And like, and even
maybe
then,
he's being hyperbolic. I don't know. I mean, that wasn't the better.
Maybe
no. No, oh, he's like,
this is, I am not he being said hyperbolic. She, yeah.
I swear to God, I'm not being hyperbolic. She really was going to be our Eve. But
I'm
no,
not
he
exaggerating.
Calls her,
we were going to fuck her.
He does call her their Eve. He calls her their Eve. He calls her their precious piece of cargo. And I remember watching it and being like, oh, this guy's a piece of shit. I know how it ends, and I'm glad that this guy fucking does not end happy. But... You know, I do like the chimps are basically like the liberal kind of like working class, like scientists at the same time. Like they're the ones that want to progress into the future, while the conservative orangutans are the ones that are like, no, let's keep just going with the same methods that we have right now. The gorillas are the militaristic leaders. You know, the planet of the apes. I feel like the capuchins are monkeys and monkeys are not apes. The movie ends, you know, with you know how it ends. There it's Charlton Heston being like, damn it, you blew it up, you sons of bitches. This really was a planet of the apes.
Yes. And then he was looking in a mirror when he said that.
He was. There's a line in the beginning of the movie where all the characters are questioning Charlton Heston and they're like, what's your whole deal? You don't like Earth? Like, what do you want from things? And, you know, and Charlton Heston is like, he says something like, my dreams are a little different. Somewhere in the universe, there has to be something better than man. And that's his dream, right? Later in the movie, he only kisses the fucking monkey. He doesn't kiss Nova, the girl that, like, is propped up as his fucking object. He only kisses the monkey.
Did he volunteer
I think this guy just wanted to
so that he could fuck aliens?
Yes! I think this guy only wanted to fuck aliens and monkeys or whatever.
If their mission was to fuck, literally was to fuck, then maybe they needed sexual deviance as their astronauts, honestly.
Maybe he was like, look, she's our Eve, but I'm more of like a Steve, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm more of a Steve Irwin, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
But you know, it's good. It's got a lot of political conflict, you know. There's a lot of like racial tension or a lot of like classism between like the apes, the orangutan or the chimpanzees, the orangutans and the gorillas. You know, I feel like everyone knows how that original movie ends.
Which I feel like one thing I was like, I really wonder what it would be like to watch that movie without having known the twist prior. Because that's one thing I remember watching and being like, I know the twist. And I'm like, I'm just generally like what it was like in the 60s to be like, whoa, you know, like
15 to 20 minutes before the movie ends. They get to it. They show you. Because they encounter a doll that says mama. And they're like, oh, this doll is from like human times or whatever. So it's like,
yeah. So I wish I'd seen it without knowing the twist, you know, just to see what it like, you know, see if I fell for it too or not.
Has anyone seen Beneath the Planet of the Apes?
No, did not see. In the last couple days, I've been reading the synopses of the sequels.
Nice.
And holy shit, want to go watch them now because I read the plots and they're wild.
They are.
That's funny.
And one of them is like just like Fallout.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a reference to Fallout. Yeah. Or Fallout, whatever.
I think Fallout's probably a reference to
Fallout
that.
Fallout does reference one of them,
Fallout came out first.
Which, it's like...
You didn't read the French book?
It's like
Fallout? Le Fallout?
Fallout.
Le Fallout.
Le Fallout.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes, it's a direct sequel. They couldn't get Charlton Heston back, so they got an actor that looks exactly like Charlton Heston. Nice. He even acts the same way.
Nice.
Yeah, this movie revolves around a secret society of humans that are like telepathic mutants that are housing an atomic bomb that's capable of destroying the Earth.
Mm-hmm, that they worship.
So basically, the way that the movie ends, because you could just get to the ending of it, there's a sect of gorillas that decides to invade the human encampment that are just like, no, we're going to take out these mutants. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you know, Charlton Heston and Charlton Heston 2 are just like, oh, we got to stop them. They fight each other. Everybody loses. Charlton Heston's like, ah, fuck, I'm dying. I'm going to go ahead and turn on the bomb that
could kill the whole planet.
That could kill the whole fucking planet.
They specify that it kills, that this one is the biggest one with a special casing that will kill the whole world.
Yeah, cobalt casing. And cobalt casing.
Ooh,
nice. From what I've heard, it sounds like it sounded like Charlton Heston didn't want to come back for a second one, but he was contractually obligated to, which is why he's only in it for like 15 minutes. But even then, I think, I don't know if he was a producer, but he had a lot of pull on it. He was like, I don't want there to be any more sequels. We're blowing up the planet. We're not doing anything else. Like, and that's it.
Can't be a fucking planet vape. There's no goddamn planet.
And then afterwards, it just like says, like, in this solar system.
Oh my god.
Rotating around the sun, like the seventh, like, or the third world.
The bleakest ending.
Is now dead. It literally just says, the world is now dead.
It's like a
in the
solar system circling around the sun, a green planet full of life is now dead.
Yep.
And it's like, oh shit, I guess that's how it ends. It's really bleak. It's really bleak.
Well, it's like, it's funny because, like, I feel like it's a tradition that every single Planet of the Apes movie is a bad ending. Technically, it is not the ending that it's never the ending the characters wanted. You know what I mean?
What?
Like, I feel like a lot of
the Tim Burton
times...
one's one that I want. So.
Oh, and fair enough. I haven't seen the Tim Burton one, so I might be talking about my ass here.
No, you're right. Because that's the ending I want. Is the Tim Burton one.
Okay, so.
What's after Beneath, though?
That's the second movie.
It's so silly.
And you know what? I feel like that was a really easy thing to get through. The first movie, a lot more crazy. I mean, it's a really good movie. There's just a lot of weird stuff. Yeah. Charlton Heston only kisses the ape in that movie. And he's just like, I want something more than man.
Oh, in the first one. Even in the second one, yeah. I was like, that'd be so great. Give me another monkey to kiss.
Okay.
That's the 15 minutes he was in, was just to have sex with a monkey.
Okay. Sorry, so the third movie, the two chimps that helped Charlton Heston in the first and second
movie. Yeah.
And
can I guess what the third movie's called?
Yes.
Is this Conquest of the Planet of the Apes?
No, that's the next one, and that's my favorite one out of the original.
What's the third one called?
So, the third one is Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Of course,
and basically,
the time travel one.
It follows the two apes that helped Charlton Heston throughout the first two movies. They managed to hear about the bomb, you know, being live or whatever. Yeah, they managed to escape into an aircraft and escape into like a time portal, the same time portal that the original astronauts came through.
It's the original aircraft repaired too. It's his ship that they eventually repaired
from the first one,
from the water. Yeah, and so they arrive in the 70s and they become like celebrities. And over time, it turns out that, you know, the human population figures out, oh shit, in the future, society is run by apes, and we wipe ourselves off the map, and this might be the start of it. And so they go from being like starlets, from being ostracized, to being hunted. And ultimately, the movie... Okay, so there's a point where... The two apes, you know, the wife, she figures out that she's pregnant.
Yep.
She gives birth.
Oh God! It's
and
a
she managed.
Kid.
No. from a kiss, yeah. She kissed them.
Well,
and
I don't know. off camera.
She kissed them and they got pregnant.
Yeah, that's how it happens, right?
That's how it works, yeah.
So, yeah, duh, dummy.
Unless you're in a tree.
And so she manages to give birth in this circus where coincidentally another ape happened to give birth.
A regular.
Okay. Yeah.
A regular ape managed to give birth.
Modern day.
And then there's a, you know, there's a scene where she's like, "Oh, I want to go visit the other ape." Whatever. Dismiss it. Eventually the you know, her name is Zira. And the father's name is Cornelius. They're hiding out on a ship, you know, the wife and husband. They're hiding out on a ship. The main villain manages to get a hold of them and kills them all. Kills the husband, the wife, and the baby chimp. Yep. And the movie ends, but not before it cuts back to the circus.
Yep.
Where it shows the little chimp going like da da, and it's like it's the intelligent ape. It's the intelligent ape. Yeah.
She swapped the babies before they left the circus. Of course.
Yep.
Nice. He will be our pariah.
It's just so funny to me because like I was reading through the old ones and I'm like, it's like, okay, again, yeah. Terrible ending. The main characters both die. Literally.
Yeah. I guess.
I also want to watch this one just because of the way it described it in the plot breakdown, where it says that she looks at the dead baby and throws him onto the water.
She does.
Like, that sounds so wild.
It's not like, it's not funny, but it's more of like, ah, fuck. You know what I mean? She just picks it up and she goes, bloop.
It just sounds so gruesome, like,
bloop. I'm sure with the way the 70s shot it, it looked funny, or like, it's just kind of like, not. It's like,
I'd probably just laugh at it 100%.
Yeah.
No. I would say, I did skip Escape the Planet of the Apes, except the last 30 minutes. And yeah, it's pretty, like, it's pretty harrowing. It's like she crawls to him while after she got shot and she's dying. The baby gets shot and she just like throws it into the ocean so that nobody could go find it. It's like it's really like fuck. It sucks. Gotcha. Going back to what
that's funny because I did what Gym Leader Nate did. Kind of I didn't go too far in this plot synopsis because I was thinking of watching them all, but then I also saw reviews that were like. And I just overall was like, I don't think I want to like cram these all in one fucking sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one.
I only had enough time to choose between the old ones and the new ones, and I decided and on same. The new ones.
Yeah, that's why I was I'll do the old ones, but yeah.
Okay. Now we're at a point where I feel like we can talk tangentially, or like we could talk both about the new ones and the old ones, because now we're up to Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. And its sequel, Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Starting with Conquest.
What about the show?
Conquest. No. Conquest picks up. The show takes place later. Conquest. That is about the child of Zira and Cornelius. You know, the couple that had died in the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
He grows up in a circus with the circus performer who... After going to a town to advertise their circus coming up, they get separated because the ape, he's not known as Caesar yet. I think he has a different name. But he's walking through this society, which, you know, it's a human society that basically they lost all of their pets. You know, no cats, no dogs due to this virus. And in their place, they took apes. And they took chimps and gorillas and stuff, and they went, you know, they went from being pets to being straight up slaves. Now chimps, they get everything that people need. Apes get everything that people need. They're just straight up servants. And so the circus owner and Caesar go into this town. They end up getting separated, and Caesar ends up seeing just the terrible working conditions and the terrible conditions that the apes live in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a prequel to like the Planet of the Apes. And this is like in technically 1991, as opposed to like 3912 or some shit.
Oh, timeline wise.
Yeah. Timeline wise.
Okay.
And so you know, this is just showing the start of the uprising.
That's kind of cool that they go cyclical, though, where they start up there, like, almost at the end. The second one goes to the end, and then they kind of circle back. Like, let's go back. Let's see. How did we get here?
And the thing was, I feel like the main reason for that was that, like, the first two movies came out. A lot of people were like, and this was in the late 60s, a lot of people were like, yo, this is like the civil rights movement. This is like an allegory for, like, racial tension and the way that, like, people are being treated. And the directors were like, oh, shit, we didn't realize that. Like, yeah, you're right. And that was the first two.
Trying to make that a cool the first monkey movie.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that was, like, the first.
Funny.
That was the first two, three movies from Conquest. Well, I think it is Escape and then Conquest and Battle. Those are all much more, like, racially, what's the word?
Like societal, like. Social justice, kind of. I don't know.
Exactly.
Driven.
In Conquest, which is, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the 2011 one with, like...
Jameson Frankinson.
Jameson Frankinson and fucking Andy Serkis. That's very much a loose remake of Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. Because it shows, Caesar living with people. Caesar living with people, then he gets institutionalized with his brothers and sisters, and then from there breaks them out and starts this revolution.
I think they just take away the time travel element to the beginning of Caesar's existence. For the new one,
they just start there rather than starting at the end. Like, they're working their way forward, kind of, like,
which
time wise
it still works, because, like, even in the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, they show, like, the Icarus is launching into space, and these astronauts are going to go missing soon. Charlton Heston.
Nice. We have Charlton Heston on this, famous actor. I remember liking, the one thing I really liked about the Rise of, if we could talk about briefly, is just, like, I loved... watching it, it almost feels like it's not going to be, because I hadn't seen any. I think that was probably the first movie I'd seen of the series, but it felt like it wasn't going to be a part of the series. Just kind of was like a I don't know.
It would have ended drama after that.
Well, just no. It's like it starts off like a drama about, like, this guy trying to help his, like, dad with, like, Alzheimer's and trying to solve that, if I remember correctly. And then it kind of just evolves into the Planet of the Apes prequel, and you're like, whoa, what the fuck?
That series managed to give the most depth to the origin.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Because a lot of other things were just like, and then the apes got smarter.
Yeah.
Well, they were just writing, like, shit as they went, it sounds like. Especially, like, not realizing they were making social commentary. Well, it's like, oh, wait, what?
But I feel like with Rise, too, it's like, something that like also was a little confusing to me that I noticed when I was watching the new ones, but I was like, in the first two movies of the new ones, they like go over and over again how the simian flu, like, is killing, basically it kills everybody who doesn't have a resistance to it and, like, a biological immunity.
Which I do want to say, after rewatching that after COVID.
Yeah.
Like the ending of Rise and the start of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I'm just like, holy shit, all of this feels so much more like
realistic.
I get it now. Yeah, realistic. Like,
yeah.
I get it. I can see it.
Jeez. Could happen.
Yeah.
Simian flu.
So the second movie, they're all like, their whole big thing is like, oh, we can interact with the apes. It's fine because all of us have, it's been long enough that it's been 10 years. Anybody who wasn't immune to the virus died. And it's like, they're like, we're the only ones who are left. That means we must have immunity. But then they go to the next movie and they're like, oh, no, there's still humans who can get affected by the virus. And now the virus is worse. It's like,
well, that's just like that's in real life, you see the virus evolve. You see COVID evolve into, like, different shit where it's like
people still get the bubonic plague. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's still bad. It's just not as common, I guess.
Yeah. But I just think it's always funny because just, like, for the plot, they're just like, all right, now it mutates. Yeah. It's like,
we wrote ourselves into a corner. Let's unwrite that corner.
Yeah. Let's but it expand was nice that they like they corner. Still got to kind of explain like why humanity, you know, was like mm-hmm. well, they're still setting up for the more like caveman-esque like simplified exactly. humans for the future mm-hmm. by being like oh love. Now the virus like makes humans mute and like makes them like start reverting back to a more primal state
mm-hmm. which I love that because this feels like this whole franchise feels like the long game. But it's all good.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not like Marvel or not like any other for example, a Netflix series of something where it's like you follow the main character and they have this costume and then in the final episode in the final scene they get their real costume. You know what I mean? It's like that's a whole other level of like egging things on or just like waiting. Whereas this feels like it feels. You know, the world itself is so, like, natural and lived in that it just feels authentic.
Yeah. And I was going to say, one thing, actually, I remember with the... I was thinking about, actually, recently, with the first... Rise of the Planet of the Apes, was that it very much felt like... I think it might have been one of the... at least for me, it was one of the first, like, requels, or at least seemingly requels. It might not necessarily be in the same timeline anymore, but I think at the time, I remember watching it and being like... This might be like it's a prequel to the original, you know, and I remember that's actually how because I think I saw that one first, then I saw the original or the Tim Burton, whichever one was Order Operation, I forget which one, but yeah, it's that's interesting to hear because I haven't caught up with the newest one that's out before Kingdom. Was it War?
Oh man,
War for
War
the
Planet. Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Just hearing it sounds like it kind of still continues up until the first movie, the OG one.
That's curious because, like, the Kingdom, I didn't look it up actually. Do you guys know when that is going to be in the, like, how
yes,
far?
Yes. And I. Okay, so before we get into that, I do want to talk about the sequel to both Conquest and Rise, you know, two different branching origin or, like, parallel stories.
Sure. Gotcha. Like, two movies.
So, Conquest, you know, that's when Caesar. It's very much a lot closer to Dawn of the Planet or Rise of the Planet of the Apes, where that's the one that takes place in San Francisco. They all get their weapons and whatever. Conquest, I highly recommend checking out the ending monologue. It's so fucking moving. Roddy McDowell, he is Caesar. He is Caesar. Mm-hmm. He just explains, hey, our time is now. Humans, you fucked up. Like this is it. You could find it on YouTube. It's very beautiful. It's very like holy shit. Even with a fucking pounds of makeup caked on this person's face, they're still killing it way more than anyone else has. So you know that's the end of the second movie. The beginning of the third movie, the beginning of Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Picks up a couple years after that, where basically humans and apes are trying to find a middle ground. You know what I mean? Caesar's much more of a Caesar is willing to work with humans and bargain and you know just play ball with humans. But then there's another gorilla named Aldo. Who he is just like, no, fuck humans, fuck that. We are not going to like, you know, we're going to reclaim it. We're going to take back, you know, what is ours. And that is a parallel to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Where Caesar is an ape trying to find, you know, trying to lead his people into like, you know, just to further their society while also like trying to keep a middle ground with humans. Meanwhile, you have this other bonobo named Koba, who's a piece of shit, who's just, granted, he was like a test rat for scientists.
Because in the first one, too, right, in Rise?
He is.
He was the one that they fuck over kind of more so. Just more hesitant.
And in this movie, he's basically the main antagonist, you know? He is the General Aldo in Battle for the Planet of the Apes. And it's interesting because I hadn't seen those two until this week, but Yeah, mm-hmm. Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, straight up remakes or straight up reboots of those ones.
Yeah,
yeah, they are. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, which is neat because it's like eventually. I wonder if they're gonna just have they confirmed they're just actually gonna hit Planet of the Apes again?
No, no, it leads into the Tim Burton one, actually, so we're good.
That's my hope. My hope is that there's Kingdom, there's going to be a sequel, and then there's going to be another sequel, like a new trilogy. Jeez. I'm hoping that the very last one is Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. There's something I noticed, like, also with, like, it's like, with the new movies, they do such this, like, really cool thing where, like, They do these shots where they will make the shot look just like shots from the original movies.
Yeah.
Like in Dawn, when Koba sets their ape village on fire and like convinces all the apes it was the humans who did it. there's this shot of like them running against the backdrop of the fire. And I'm like, I've seen this exact shot before, I swear. Like, it's, like, the waterfall scenes, there's just a ton of stuff where I'm just like
one for one, almost.
Not like one for one, but just so reminiscent.
Similar. Gotcha.
Just wait, like, if you end up watching Battle for the Planet of the Apes, which is, like, the last of the OG movies.
Right.
You'll notice everything. Oh, because even in the original Battle of the Planet of the Apes, General Aldo, the evil villain, kills Caesar's son. And in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Koba kills Caesar's son. And it's just, it's really good.
I'm actually hoping, what I hope they do is I hope that they remake, so Kingdom, and then it's Planet of the Apes, then it's remake of Beneath the Planet of the Apes, and then a remake of Escape, and it just ends. And it's just, it's an infinite like remake cycle of just like the same movie.
It would be insane if it's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and then Planet of the Apes and then Planet Beneath the Planet of the Apes, which ends with the entire world getting destroyed. That would be a perfect, I would love that for a franchise ending. And then the world exploded.
And then they actually don't make any more Planet of the Apes movies, and they're like, and now it's actually done.
Give it like 40 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah.
So, you know, those were the, you know, it's interesting that, Conquest and Rise were very synonymous, and same thing with Battle for the Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, you know, very very much the same kind of story. But, you know, the original trilogy ended with Battle, and the new reboot trilogy ended with, well, you know, the trilogy ended with War for the Planet of the Apes.
I would say that's definitely the ending of a trilogy, because, like, Caesar, like, dies, and, like, it's, like, literally the end of his story. Like,
spoilers.
Sorry. I mean, we're talking about all the story.
For the 7-year-old movie. But really, you know, one thing that I've always described to you guys, because I feel like I rewatched it recently before you guys had rewatched it, was that this movie was basically Apocalypse Now and Passion of the Christ, where... Caesar just endures the challenges of his people and just tries to be like, hey, give them water, give them food. You want them to be slaves for you? Okay, like, just let them fucking survive at least, you know? Like it's insane. Yeah. Like Caesar becomes a martyr for his people. He's like Jesus Christ. He's Moses.
Mm-hmm. I love the smell of communion in the morning.
Yeah, really. They really turn Caesar into this just amazing martyr. And, you know, there's points where he's crucified on an X in order to, like, you know.
Very tasteful. Like, X, not a T. Not a
it's
T
an
shape.
X, not a T.
Should have been an M. Damn M. Fuck.
I want to believe built it and they were like, too much. No, we need to change it. And they just tipped it over.
Zack Snyder's already doing something like this.
In the original Planet of the Apes, they would make scarecrows in the shapes of X's. So now I'm just like, okay, obviously it's, you know, either it's a reference to, or it could be both. It could be a reference to the original franchise where the apes are hung on X's, or it's literally this person is Jesus Christ, which they are for the story. Yeah. I dropped my glasses. Yeah. And, you know, it's a really beautiful story. You you get to see some other apes work together. You get like Bad Ape, you get Maurice, you get Rocket. Really good characters. But, you know, I guess one thing I wanted to bring up too, where I mentioned that Conquest kind of influenced Rise and Battle influenced War for the Planet of the Apes. Oh, no, not War for the Planet of the Apes, Dawn for the Planet of the Apes. When it came to War for the Planet of the Apes, you know, the one that I mentioned that was a lot more like Passion of the Christ or Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That story, that movie was based more off of Bridge on the Bridge on the River Kwai, which was made by the same writer of the original Planet of the Apes movie. Or the original Planet of the Apes novel.
Huh, okay.
So it's based on a different property?
Bridge on the River Kwai.
Exactly. Yes. It's a World War One or World War Two movie.
I believe it won a bunch of Academy Awards, didn't it?
It did. So Bridge on the River Kwai is a World War Two movie. It stars Alec Guinness, a.k.a. Obi-Wan Kenobi, who... I forgot what the original story is, but basically it's about like US soldiers that are caught in a like World War II camp. It just so happens to be that the original novel was written by the same person that wrote Planet of the Apes, and so War for the Planet of the Apes, instead of being influenced by any Planet of the Apes story, is influenced by Bridge on River Kwai. Which, you know, same author. This is very interesting. Same thing where it comes to, like, Caesar trying to break out his fellow ape inmates. You know, you see him trying to, like, it's just a, it's a very good story.
That's so cool. I never even would have put the two and two together. That's interesting. Like, that's...
Exactly, right? I didn't realize that until, like, doing my research for this episode where it's like, okay, the other remakes are based off of original Apes remakes, but then they base this off of the original dude's work. It's like, it's sick.
Also, I do want to say too, I was thinking this about Planet of the Apes and about how I kind of really liked the original practical makeup on the apes. I thought, you know, it didn't just look great. It didn't look great, but I just like the use of like actual like practical things, because especially in like the original, like when they first did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the CGI was really really good, and with each progressive movie, it has gotten a little bit worse. I'm not gonna lie, like
No, not even.
I literally there were several moments where I was just like, this is not like. In the background you have to, properly, like this
you have
is
to watch him with my eyes, dude. I think you would like the movie.
Yeah, with his tisms. No, I was gonna say. To be fair, I guess the Rise, the CGI only needs to be of monkeys, like, you know, where like it sounds like there's a lot more CGI with the sequels too. So there's a lot more.
Well, no, because they're still because the sequels. Dawn, Rise, and War, Kingdom. Like all three of those. Like, they're still just monkeys. They haven't, like, evolved to be, like, more human-esque. Like, they're still, like, just
But they're all CG'd, right? Like, they have to be CGI'd over. They're practical.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's more CGI. That's why the CGI probably doesn't look as good for the later ones, especially in that trilogy.
Yeah.
And I do love the original monkey. It's funny, is whenever I watch Danger 5, I always, there's an episode where they go to the monkey cabana. And I'm like, oh, they're wearing the exact same style.
They are. Effects.
Yeah, they are.
And I always think of Planet of the Apes whenever I see that. I need to
watch
scene.
That again. They're literally dressed like Planet
of the
Apes.
Yeah. It's every time I see that, they're like, hey, Planet of Mama Number 5 with the short and the flats. And it's just like the exact same.
Oh, right. That one thing. Okay. So at the end, or in War of the Planet of the Apes, they introduce Nova.
Yeah.
And so the timeline's completely different.
So the timeline is completely different. I'm not sure. Yeah, so Nova was named by Charlton Heston, I believe, in the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
He just calls her Nova, and then he tries to teach her her name, and then, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just a bunch of weird shit. But yeah, it's he calls her Nova.
Yeah.
It's just a coincidence.
So are they implying that this is like the new iteration of that character? Or are they just reusing the name? You know what I mean? It's kind of like in the early drafts of like Force Awakens, Rey's name was going to be Kira, and eventually they just gave it to another character, but it doesn't mean she has anything to do with Rey. They just reused the name because it's a good name.
Yeah, in the original Planet of the Apes, I forgot who named Nova Nova, but she literally was just a woman in two movies that couldn't speak, and she couldn't kiss the main actor because she was sleeping with the producer. So she was just there for eye candy, literal eye candy. She didn't talk, she didn't say shit. And I feel so
like they're basically redoing that character.
Yes, they're redoing that character without making her, you know, without any of the misogyny or just sexism or, you know, they're giving it a little more nuance where she is a human character with a lot of personality. And I guess, you know, this is going to lead into our next topic of conversation, which is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. It seems like this Nova is very much like a progenitor to like the whole apes have a human called Nova, and there is a Nova that is like the first human that lived with apes, or the first human that like worked with apes, or this like not like the Adam or Eve, but like the way that like in stories like there is this mythological Nova. And in War of the Planet of the Apes, the main reason for that is because she had a fucking, like a Dodge Nova fucking logo with her, or some shit like that. So they're just like, oh, this is Nova.
Classic buddy's your diaper Toyota for situation.
Sale. Yeah. So, War for the Planet of the Apes ended with the humans getting the simian flu, and you know, at that point, they can't speak. They can't speak anymore. So they're basically devolving throughout the entire film series. And that picks up 300 years into Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
So wait, so this, I feel like this basically is Planet of the Apes then.
It's getting there. I think this trilogy, I think if they have a sequel, the sequel is going to be the OG Planet of the Apes.
That's what it seems like, because at this point, they might not go all the way with even the 3,000-year jump, because,
far,
like, because I know they already changed kind of the way the, like, progression worked, where, like, humanity was wiped out really fast. So.
10 years. It took 10 years for humanity to be gone.
Yeah. So it's like with that new accelerated timeline, they like, I feel like that this could be like that. It could almost be a twist that Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, we're going to go see this movie. And like 30 maybe. Minutes in, a spaceship's going to land.
No. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be a post credits. Like, you're going to see the spaceship and you're going to hear like, hello.
That's what I think. Hello, it's me, Charlton Zag Braganoff. What was his name?
Zap Brannigan. Got our Eve over here.
I famously have not seen Futurama, actually. Yeah, I think we all talk about that, right?
Yeah, well, I was surprised.
So you were also trying to be Zap Brannigan? Because I was 100% certain you were doing a Zap Brannigan impersonation.
I thought you were doing, what's his name, from Twilight Zone, but then you went to Kurt from like Star Trek. That's why I did a Scottish.
Well, who
one.
The fuck? Who do you think Zach Brannigan, famous '90s character? Okay, whatever. Who do you think they're basing their shit off of, dude?
Captain Kirk.
It's Kirk. Yeah, Kirk.
There you go.
Spoof of Captain Kirk. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I thought you were that. I was. I guess
for
right.
Me,
I don't know.
Well, I guess for me, to be Kirk fair, always involves.
But
Zap.
Well, to be fair, true. To be fair, I have seen everything that influences fucking Futurama except Futurama itself.
The accumulation of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sounded more like Todd Sterling from Twilight Zone, so I was like, or Rod Sterling. So Todd, his brother.
I'm going back and forth. Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
Okay, Todd so McFarlane. Where are we at? Where are we at?
Cuck my wife.
Huh?
It's me, Todd McFarlane. Come cuck my wife.
I was talking about the fact that I wouldn't be surprised if part of the way through Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, they just had a spaceship crash and they're like, surprise, this is Planet of the Apes. We're doing it now.
Okay, yeah. So we're at Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes now. You know, we went through the entire original trilogy, reboots. You know, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming out. It looks really good, honestly. I have a lot of hype for it. Planet of the Apes is a franchise that, like, it's another one of those franchises where I didn't realize, like, oh shit, I actually really love it, you know? until a new one comes out. It's like, oh shit, I didn't know my fucking tism just spread throughout the fucking, throughout all my interests, like, so much.
At least they're not pushing Planet of the Apes movies though, like they are like Ghostbusters, and like they're actually good for the most part, you know. And
I think that's why I've loved them so much is that like they they always stayed in their own lane. They were never a Marvel or a DC or fucking anything else. They knew when to make a sequel. They knew when to
fold them.
Yeah,
pretty much. I feel like yeah. I was gonna say. I don't know. It's like, I feel like a big part of that is that they, I feel like because the prequel era for Planet of the Apes was so messy that with the time travel and everything that like they, I feel like it's just like really capitalizing on just a really good opportunity of like redefining that story. And they like, I think they just properly saw the correct entry point and it's really paying off because it's like,
that's interesting.
Like it's making it a saga. Too.
Yeah, it's interesting because like I feel like they don't do that enough where they get like movies that bad movies and or maybe not bad, but you know what I mean, like movies that are lesser and remake those. And this is a scenario, it sounds like, where they're not just taking, let's take Planet of the Apes and remake it, let's take the ones that are less popular, less known, maybe like less regarded, and remake those and make them better.
I thought about that all the time, like how many good sci-fi and fantasy movies there are out there that had good bases and like had a good like starting point, but like were just made really shittily, and so like it'd be so nice to like see it redone, or like even things that were just like kind of sci-fi original movie quality but like could but kind of be cool, you know what I mean, if it was actually made with some real budget and like real heart. Makes me think of like was it the one that I always wished they had made into more actual blockbuster movies? Dragonheart.
Oh god.
The Sean Connery movie. Well, god, he was the dragon, so he wasn't really. I don't know if you'd say it's his movie, but that's who I always think of.
His name's on the title.
Yeah.
Dragonheart is the name, right?
I was like, I think they could make a cool Dragonheart.
All right, so we got Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes coming up. You know, overall it looks really good. It does look like it's you know, that story is gonna catch us up to whether or not it's the original Planet of the Apes or, you know, anything from then on forward. Basically it seems like we're gonna get some more human characters, we're gonna get some, you know, apes working with humans and whatnot. It looks really good.
Oh yeah, I remember why cool. I brought up the original monkey prosthetics too, the ape prosthetics, because I'm still kind of hoping they kind of like bring it back a little bit and do like a mesh of prosthetic plus CGI, you know, like the newer Star Wars movies, like because like I just think it'd be really interesting to get that again, because I don't know, it's just something about the way that those like the Monkey Mouth, like the Eight Mouths moved was like so funny. So funny. I want it back. I want it back.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfect time to jump into Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. Starring Marky Mark.
Marky Mark and the Funky Monkeys.
Right off the bat, to generalize things.
Yeah.
This was a great movie. I thought this was a great movie. I really liked it.
Let me check real quick.
I didn't think it was that bad. I don't know why you. I don't.
Okay, wait. Hold on. No. Okay. I like
look,
it for.
Look, wait. As well, I will hold on but... first. Hold on first, but I just want to say.
Yeah.
I am a walking embodiment of a Tim Burton character, but I will say. He does have a lazy period, and I do agree with people. I basically agree with everyone when it comes to, like, where Tim Burton fell off. I think it was right after this movie. But honestly, this movie fucks.
I like this movie because I think it's really goofy.
It's really goofy.
I remember it's not so the worst, little from it, but I've seen this.
It's probably the worst Planet of the Apes, though. I don't know. No. At least the ones I've seen.
I think Escape is the worst.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen like that, so but that's the old ones.
I mean,
I've
out of the like four sequels to the original that were like very passed over by pop culture and ignored, I would say amongst those has to probably be the worst one. Like,
look, I like a lot of the performances, like genuine. Like, I think Roth? I think is like
Tim Roth. Holy shit! Tim Roth
Duncan is really great. A lot of the people, even Paul Giamatti, I remember him being a pretty good, like, people in ape suits are pretty good for the most part. It's just there's some really weird stuff, like, just really weird. And I don't know. It's just, it's goofy, but I love it for the goofness.
I think it's funny because this is the freshest one in my mind because it's the last one that I watched. No, I totally agree. I think that overall, this movie is basically the same as the first movie. It hits the same beats. It hits the same kind of plot points. It is more in line with the novel. There is a lot of weird things where, like, there's a weird sexual tension between Helena Bonham Carter and Marky Mark, who's a human. So, like, an ape and a human. Yeah. There's really weird, like, tension between them.
Whoa. I didn't know Charlton Heston came back for that movie.
He's like a monkey or something?
To play Zaius.
Oh, nice. Oh, he's like the dad, right? Or something kind of like the older,
old,
like...
Zaius.
He plays Tim Roth's dad, who, Tim Roth, amazing in that movie. He's insane. Genuinely,
he gets
genuinely
a bit goofy, but yeah. He's a great actor, yeah.
Tim Roth.
There's some lines I remember him being like, and you're like,
No, rewatching Tim Roth, it was insane. It was insane. He was just chewing up the scenery. He was having a lot of fun, you know? And it's so weird, especially after seeing him in, like, Reservoir Dogs and, like, Four Rooms, you know? And The Incredible Hulk as the Abomination.
Yeah.
Because he plays the fucking Abomination.
He was such a good Abomination.
He is insane. Like, genuinely, out of all of the Planet of the Apes villains, I think it's like Koba, and then I think it's General Thade and like General Aldo from the original trilogy.
Koba
but
was
really,
such
like,
a good villain, honestly. Like, such a good, like, antagonist.
Which, funny enough, going back to the whole, like, Animal Farm and, you know, Lenin, Trotsky, and fucking Stalin. Stalin's nickname was Koba.
Interesting.
Yep.
Nice.
I did. Because
he was
one
a monkey.
Thing I thought was interesting was that, like, I feel like the original movies, or at least the original one, because that was the one I saw. Yeah, it's like the one thing that I really appreciate about the new ones is that because now they're remaking the whole entire timeline with all of the previous knowledge and in the modern day, it's like they're not stumbling into the allegory. And I feel like now they're doing a lot better, because like the old allegory, like the old allegory had still had some problems with it, because it still had a lot of implications of like these very like 60s. Oh, society's just like this. If you let, you know, society happen and sentient beings live together, like eventually they always do the same things, and it's like it's this weird like presumptive, like I don't know, it's very bleak look at like being like, it's like the same people who say like, oh, you can't stop like capitalism and humans from being like this because this is just how people are, like this is just how it is. And so like I thought it was like, I don't know, I always got the vibe, especially when I watched it a couple of years ago, that it was like that, this like that weird like overtone of like, oh well, what are you gonna do, like that society.
Well, I
like, yeah, fair.
Which sometimes is like good for commentary, but other times kind of like lets commentary off the hook.
Yeah, it's like, what is it gonna provide to the, what is it gonna bring to the table? You know what I mean? It's like, all right, we already said what we have to say, and I guess that is a major criticism of the newer trilogy, is where like, not to be like, sure, it brings more like attention to like the animal versus like human rights. But the original trilogy, or fucking synchology,
whatever
it was, was straight up asking questions about like race and questions about religion, and like, you know, it made it a lot more. It was a lot more heavy handed, or it asked like heavier questions, rather than in the new series where it's just like, how would you say it? Not like people bad. But you know what I mean? It was like,
I feel like,
yeah.
I feel,
yeah, see, just for like people bad.
When I watched the original, I feel like all the questions it was asking were like empty questions. Like they were like, oh, we're going to, it's like, I feel like even like having the like, oh, we're going to have some of the apes be conservative apes and they're religious. And it's like, it's like, I feel like it was something very obvious, and it wasn't really a comment. It was just like, they did the same thing humans
did.
Look
at this thing.
It's all the same.
Well, that's, to be fair, that's why I'm like, that's why from Escape and Conquest and Battle, those were the ones that were,
where it's like heavy,
those were the ones where the directors were like, oh yeah, you're right. We
realized what they actually had.
Yeah. Face slam. And that's like, oh, what the hell?
Maybe that's why those are the ones that I'm more,
that makes sense,
attached to, or shit, those are the ones that I'm like, oh, okay, those, they feel better. Dude, yeah. Conquest, okay, I'll send you the final monologue, but like, oh man, so good.
Truly this was a planet of the apes.
They say that like four Dr. times Sayers? In every, Dr. They do say that like twice throughout the series.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh my god, sidebar, I know, but, or side tangent, I know, but just, have you guys ever heard of The Amazing Jonathan?
No.
I think so. Does he have a big head?
No, he's a comedian. he's a comedian who's a magician.
No.
And he has like a couple specials, and he's known for having performed in Las Vegas for like 30 years.
With the big head?
And yeah, with the big head. And he's also known for kind of being a meth head. Crack, not meth. But
okay.
So it's an important distinction. But there's just, I remember he was one of the first like comedy specials I ever saw that I really liked. And he just had a bit about that he would constantly do about Planet of the Apes that I was like such a fan of because I had seen it because my dad showed me it. And where he would just, he could see his silhouette from the spotlight behind him. So he would constantly do like shadow puppets, and he would just put his like mouth up to make the shadow puppet of the monkey, the ape mouth. And he'd be like, nice. Dr. Sayers, Dr. Sayers. And just, he would just turn around and do like lines from Planet of the Apes over and over again throughout the show.
God damn it. That's so, it's like, I love that. That's like a joke. It's just
it's
saying
engraved
a line from
in
the
my
movie.
Memory. And I have to like share it because like, it's eating me from the inside out that we are just like, every single time we're talking about these movies, that's all I just keep seeing in my head is The Amazing Jonathan just doing that.
Look, I will say, Planet of the Apes is a dad franchise. My dad got me into Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
Because he liked it. So, you know, it's,
my dad showed me the original.
Hey, you know what? If you're a listener and if your dad showed you Planet of the Apes, why don't you go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe? And
if your dad is trying to show you Planet of the Apes, let him.
What? Let him. Listen.
Listen.
Okay, he's this trying.
This time he's right. You know, I know maybe not always, you. But this time he's
not always. Right. And you know what? It's been a long time since he's tried to reach out to you. But you know what? Sure, and I know it's hard. Just let him in. Let him in.
Just talk about monkeys
and I know he's gone at work a lot. You know, I know. And I know when he comes home, he's a little short because he's tired. And, like I get it. And he missed your soccer game. But some quality time watching a movie will do you both some good.
Yeah, I know he came home from worshiping a missile that will explode the earth. But just, you know, relax. Let him join him.
And I know he came home after kissing apes all day. And you have to be thankful that
he's here and not 3,000 years in the future wishing that he was gangbanging some dusty lady who got age-deathed in a pod. Because that's where he could be.
Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
How do you like the ending?
Very
better ending.
It's okay. So
how does that one end?
That's okay. Overall, I would say that movie isn't that bad. You know,
it's not that bad. No.
It's not that bad. It's just very A lot of people are like, "Oh, this is a piece of shit." But like, if you have seen all of the Planet of the Apes movies, this one you could easily slot into like, you know, top five. Yeah. Really, like top five.
I just want to say,
six at that point,
or eight, maybe. Like, well, it really isn't that bad. Too. Yeah,
but no. I want to share is. It has the best effects, like practical wise, especially because they look and the best up. And it's not CG, like or not as much.
The practical effects in that movie are amazing. Yeah. They're better than the original one. They do laps. I'm sorry, but they do laps around the.
That's the one thing. That's how I looked up the images right now when we were talking about it, and that's how I remembered that I have seen the movie. I saw Tim Roth's makeup. And I was like, I've seen this. And then I saw Michael Clark Duncan, Michael Clark Duncan gorilla, and I was like, I have 100% seen this movie.
Hell yeah. I used to have I went to Comic-Con once, and they gave me one of the very first comic, oh my God, it must have been 2001 Comic-Con. I went to 2001 Comic-Con, holy shit.
Was it in September?
It's always July. It's always July. It must have been the July before. Fuck you. It must have been the July before.
Hey, you could have stopped.
I just realized what you're saying.
July before what?
Before the Planet of the Apes came out. But they basically.
Yeah, I don't think anything else happened then. So.
That year. But basically, shut up. If you went to Comic-Con, you know, you would be able to grab like different passes or different, you'd pass through like a booth and be like, all right, here's your sticker. Here's this, here's that. One of the years that year they were giving out, it was like an ape head, a Michael Clark Duncan ape head.
Okay. Where, do you have it still?
If no. I'll ask my dad. If you squeeze it, It's like if you squeeze the head, its teeth would come out and it would look like it was lunging at you.
That's sick. Wow.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
Thumbnail. Oh,
also, have to say, we were wrong. Something else did happen that year. They filmed Master of Disguise. Anyways.
Oh, yes, of course.
Become another person.
We had to make sure we recognized the important event of 2001, okay?
Yeah. That and Planet of the Apes reboot was released, I guess. That's it. That's all.
That's about it.
The effects, Planet of the Apes, Tim Burton's, phenomenal.
Beautiful.
Yeah, some of the best. So in the series.
It's really weird to see Marky Mark and Tim Burton working together.
It's
a combination. Like, why are they together?
I feel like it's Marky Mark is before he gets really problematic and kind of like in more to his own.
Before we found out he was problematic, because it turns out he was like being openly hostile and racist and violent in his high school years.
But what about the ending real quick? Sorry, Tim Burton's. What do you think? Okay. Better or worse?
Okay. So basically, okay, I'm gonna get. Give me just a second.
I will.
So Marky Mark. Okay, so Marky Mark has a bunch of apes in space with his like interstellar team. They're all doing a bunch of experiments. He sends his favorite ape into a time storm, and it disappears, and he's like, oh shit, I gotta go chase that ape. He chases the ape. He arrives on a planet full of apes, and humans are being fucking captured or whatnot. Plot happens. He ends up kissing Helena Bonham Carter as an ape, and then eventually...
I'm glad they kept the human ape kiss. That's good.
Of course. The most important part.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, it turns out that... Okay.
So,
this episode be called Tongue and Monkeys? Sorry, go ahead.
Can we rename Gym Leader Nate to Tongue and Monkey?
Oh, shit. Yes.
But now he has to always be called that.
I am Tongue and Monkeys.
Nice.
He arrives on a foreign planet full of like advanced apes and right. like primitive humans. But it turns out that in the beginning of the movie, he goes into the storm and goes forward in time. And his team ends up following him, but they go back in time. And so since the team goes back in time, they create the events that, you know, they create the planet that he ends up landing on. And so this is the movie that plays with time dilations and like space time storms, like more than anything.
And so when he goes back to Earth, he goes.
Yeah, he goes
to
backwards in time into a monkey Earth. So it's like, it's all kind of reverse. I feel like for people listening to this, it would have to be a visual diagram, which is what it took for me.
How did Earth become Monkey Earth? Do they say? When he goes back and finds Monkey Earth.
That's one thing I was confused about too. I don't remember.
That's the thing. I think everything is good. I like that movie up until that point. Because that's the main point where it's like, wait. Okay, this was all cool, but how the fuck did this happen?
Yeah. But you're also, the part I want to kind of highlight is he goes back, and so there's an Abraham Lincoln statue memorial, but it's an ape, and then all the cop cars pull up, and they're, you know, apes. But it's like, so this world had Abraham Lincoln, like, just straight
who
up.
Who was
like,
General Thade?
Was it?
Was okay, General I didn't realize Thade. It was yeah. Thade. Just which they said, thank God for General Thade. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay, so was it? Because it looked straight like Abraham Lincoln, but if he was
well, that's
an
why.
Ape,
so
that's why. It's
at the end of
the
at the end of the Tim Burton movie, the way it ends is basically, it seems very hand-wavy. It seems very like, okay, and then they end up on a world where General Thade was like
it's like they want to change the twist, I feel, just to make something new or kind of...
But in the fucking book, the whole thing is that like, okay, in the book, there are these two people that are just sailing through space, and they receive like a message in a bottle. And the message in the bottle says that like, hey, we are three astronauts that went to go check out the Betelgeuse star. And when we went to go check out the Betelgeuse star, we ended up in this alternate planet. Exactly. We ended up in this alternate planet where, you know, once we crash landed, there was all these like apes that were humanoid, and they were like very they wore regular
like
clothing
advanced.
And they were. Yeah. So basically in the book, the humans crash landed on Earth, but the Earth was already like the Earth that we lived in now. Right. So like the ending of the Tim Burton movie. So there was already apes that were driving cars. In the original book, the Planet of the Apes was a planet where apes drove cars, they smoked cigarettes, they...
Like modern day for then.
Like modern day.
But that's the original... That's in the original book, that's where he... That's where
goes
he...
Goes
to at the beginning of the story. That's what you're saying?
And before...
Whereas in Tim Burton, that's at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the novel, he's like, oh my God, I'm on this weird planet where apes have like taken over. I have to get back to Earth. And the whole novel is him trying to get back to Earth. At the end, he ends up getting a ship back to Earth. He realizes that he's just flying over Paris and the Eiffel Tower. He crash lands, or he doesn't crash land. He just lands back on Earth. He's like, holy fuck, this is the planet of the apes. Like, I'm on Earth. This is Earth.
I was going to say, I did find a little story of somebody who found a DVD insert from...
Oh, like a deleted scene?
From, basically, that explains why the regular Earth is Monkey Earth when they get back in the Tim Burton one.
Uh-huh.
It says the extra crashed pod that landed in the monkey planet, there's an insert that implies that Thade gets other apes and takes that pod to Earth.
But the way that
the humans went through the thing and go to the monkey past, the monkeys go through it and get to human past.
Before.
So when he comes back, it's a new future that has been altered in the past by Thade going to Earth in the past.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's basically it. Because at the end of the movie, you just see General Thade cowering in like the...
as the statue.
I don't know. They just didn't... Like that's why it's a good movie. They just needed a couple more scenes to like really like give it a lot more scope.
I think it'd be funnier if they had like banana guns and stuff, and like all their things are like common things, but just bananas versions.
Sorry, I'm also laughing because people have been. There's a brand new comment thread on this whole entire thing about that movie.
About that.
But the thread is from 10 years ago. But there is a brand new conversation on it that is 4 months old.
Nice.
It's like, damn, yeah, other people are thinking about this too, huh?
Yeah, other podcasts probably were talking about this in the past.
Or maybe like people are rewatching the other Planet of the Apes movies because the new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming out or something. I don't know.
Or maybe because we went back in time and we didn't. Maybe those comments are from us.
What did we leave off on?
Just finished, I think, talking about Tim Burton, really.
Yeah. So we know how Tim Burton's, why that ending is the way it is. Thade went back in time to our Earth.
Time.
From his planet's future.
Regardless, out of all of the Planet of the Apes, like, I really don't think that is a bad one, really. Like, I think it gets a lot worse of a rep than it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve it.
What would you say is the top three, considering you've seen them all?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say... man.
Just to, like, close out the circuit. Because, I've only seen, like, four or five of them, so I can only... Yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm going to have to say the best Planet of the Apes is probably Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
It's pretty good.
AKA the second reboot. It has the most like the most heartfelt human and ape interactions, and you feel way more for the apes. Second, I'm gonna say Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, mainly because I love to see the ape uprising. Although it was also done in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I think it was done better in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, mainly because they took much more of the racial tension, like, and they made it like a lot more poignant.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then after that, I'm gonna have to say the OG, mainly because you know, it's a classic.
The book.
You wouldn't have the everything book. Else. Yeah. The book, aka the Tim Burton movie,
Monkey World.
Yeah,
fair.
But yeah, that's what I rate it.
Nice.
Hell yeah. I was glad we got to talk about these. And when are we going to go see the new one? That's the other question.
Fucking the day before it comes out. May 10th. May 9th.
The
day before it comes out. There's like a
special show. So it comes out May 10th and then
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
We got to go. Because, I'm so excited.
I'll try to check out the one before.
Yeah. Also, I do really like... just one more thing too. It's like the new one is another thing that's like really nice about the new Planet of the Apes movies is that they all like move like apes, you know, and like they it's just they're oh, so yeah. You know, it's nice to see them like it's nice to see them use like ape like things we know of their like bodies. Ape culture and stuff to like communicate body language and like oh man, like whenever they do the bowing and holding up the palm to accept the palm in order to like forgive yeah. another ape. Like that's ape. A real thing mm-hmm. observed in like chimpanzee families. Like that's it's sick.
That's the one thing where in the original Planet of the Apes movies, they're all very human. Yeah. And like Charlton yeah. Heston could just punch them out and knock them out. And that's the one thing where as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, that's weird because like a human or like an ape that's super strong could probably like
take that
not and, like, die from out. That. Yeah.
Whereas they're like in the new ones, a lot of the times that a lot of the ways that apes kill people is they literally just yank them to the ground and they just slam them once smash and move them. On.
Because yeah.
They just squish them.
TBH yeah. fair. Yeah. Me too. TBH me too. I could also be smashed out. Double palm to strike.
We're on a roll with the monkey episodes, honestly. Should we just make this a monkey podcast?
A monkey cast?
Monkey cast? No monkey ideas.
Podcast of the apes.
That's pretty good actually. I wonder if it's actually taken.
I imagine someone's gotta
do it. It's sure. That yeah, I'm sure it
Pod
is.
Pod of the apes.
Yeah. Beneath the podcast of the apes.
Nah, yeah, Conquest just of the kidding. Podcast of the apes.
Goddamn.
Do you want to like transition for the us? Podcast of the Planet of the Apes.
Podcast of the Planet of the Apes with Joe and Andrew. Hey,
is that real?
Shout out to Podcast of the Planet of the Apes with Joe and Andrew. From if you ever want to be on, just
reach out.
Yeah, if you ever want to be on episode 22, your last episode was in May 2021.
Hey, there's a new Planet of the Apes coming up. Maybe there's a new episode.
Alternatively, Mark Hunt and Dan Rich from Podcast of the Apes from Podbean. same offer.
Wait, no, I just want to say, Joe and Andrew of Podcast of the Planet of the Apes, you know, if you want to come on, if you got a dumb idea, why don't you?
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's plenty of them. We've got an email.
Same to the other, in fact, that email, you can find us at nodumbidea@gmail.com.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you can find us at gibbledang@gmail.com. Or Instagram.
Yeah.
No one will find you because they are not looking. However, for me, obviously, Jim Leader Nate on everything, you know. When you need me.
Wow, we really did a Planet of the No Dumb Idea plugs, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. Well, we did.
If you want to send me your thoughts on Tim Burton's, you could send that to dadala.art on Instagram.
There it is.
Now we got all the dumb ideas. Planet of the dumb ideas.
No, we got the dumb plugs.
All right, everyone.